Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name's Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, Kyle, I'm doing pretty good. Mid-May, getting to the end of the slow time in the NFL, and getting closer to OTAs.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, I guess, a lot of this, what we'll be talking about today isn't so much news. It's kind of come in the last couple of weeks. So nothing really breaking here, but stuff we haven't had the chance to discuss yet. So, a bit more regular, 2 weeks in a row. I don't know if that's something we'll necessarily get accustomed to in this offseason, but for now, there was enough news that required that we do this episode just to cover everything. So, it's a quarterback league, right? And now the Packers franchise quarterback, at least for the next 2 years, is Jordan Love. So, of course, let's start with Jordan Love news, because that's going to be the main news topic in Green Bay for the next 2 years, is this contract that he this contract extension that he just signed. So the deadline for the fifth year option, since Jordan Love is a former first round pick, I know we'd like to forget that, but that happened. Man, I'm already off to a great start, aren't I? But the Packers decided to sign him to an extension that basically replaces the fifth year option. So that's just interesting. I don't know, but we'll get to the specifics in a sec, Jesse, but what were your reactions when you saw the news, Jordan Love extension with the Packers?
I think it's a win-win. You know, is it a huge deal? No. But overall, I think it's a win-win. It's like, listen, it's essentially telling him, hey, you know, you kind of got a 2 year window. We believe in you. You have an opportunity to make, you know, there's guaranteed money on it. That's the big thing. So he's going to get guaranteed money in his pocket right away, you know, and then he can build off of that and earn more with play. And essentially, you know, it could be like the Aaron Rodgers deal when, you know, he got his second contract halfway through the season. They're like, okay, we've seen enough, and do the deal. But I think it's a win-win. He makes a little bit more up front. Packers get another year if they think they need another year. And, that, you know, fifth-year options on quarterbacks aren't cheap. So this is the route to go, where you do guaranteed money and then, you know, everything else is incentive based. So I like it. Both sides win.
Yeah, it's they right now they're guaranteed less than they would have to guarantee for next season, which would have been reading here, the fifth year option would have been $20.27 million. So yeah, just over $20 million. And right now the Packers, looks like they've guaranteed about $7.75 million right now. Anyway, that's what the cap hit is for 2024. And I think so, win for the Packers, certainly, that it allows them to spend more on free agency next year than they would have been able to. And then I think if looks like he can earn up to maybe another almost $15 million, like 14 and a half, we'll say. That if he hits those incentives, I think they would have to then pay that out in 2025, regardless of if he's on the team or not. So maybe that's something they could also manage to be more flexible with, hoping the cap goes up and keeps going up. So by 2025, if he hits all those bonuses and they get absolutely everything out of him, good, because it means they had a good season, so they won't mind paying that extra $15 million the next year, which they'll have to at some point pay him another contract anyway, so it'll all get flushed into that. But at the downside is, if he doesn't hit that, then at least they're not paying him more to do that, right? Right. And I think the win-win side for Love is simply that he gets this money up front instead of the fifth-year option being picked up, and you're not, like, it's there, you know, you're getting that money, but you're actually not getting the money in your pocket until next season. Whereas now he gets, I think it's $13.5 million of a signing bonus that he gets right off the bat. Or sorry, yep. I guess it's $9.8 million of a signing bonus, but I think he gets up front. He gets
right.
Yeah.
Hey, that's nice. Hey, here's $13 million, kid. I mean, it works.
Yeah, so I think that's the incentive of him for doing this, is simply just to get this money up front instead of it all being paid out next year. With a massive payday next year, he's kind of evening it out and making. I mean, if he hits his bonuses, he'll make even more next year. But for now, this is, I think, what he gets up front. So I guess the 13.5 is the fully guaranteed portion of it. So I guess maybe he's not seeing all 13.5 million of that this year. Maybe, I think what it looks like, he's getting basically a $10 million check right away. Plus, I think whatever his, I think his cap hit this year is $4 million. So I guess it, I guess basically he would get about $13 million. Never mind. We circled all the way back to that. Jordan Love gets a lot of money. We don't have that money. Jordan Love does.
Yep, right back to the boat. But yeah, but you're right. You know, close to $13 million, which for a starting quarterback, that's peanuts. But then you also have another year where if you're not really sure yet or anything, it protects Green Bay to have to shell out that fifth-year option. You know, so again, I think this is going to lead right into an extension. Yeah, you know, he plays pretty solid halfway through to, you know, end of the year. You might see that extension get signed. Not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, but they kind of did the same thing with him. So it's a good move. It's a good move all around.
And I mean, my plan B is if Jordan Love's really that bad after 2 years, they could just get out of him for nothing, right? And they don't have to worry about it. There's nothing on the cap really for that 2025 season. And then they can sign Nathan Rourke pretty cheap because he'll be coming off his rookie, well, not rookie deal, I guess. Yeah. Entry level deal. That's a hockey term, but anyway, his 2 year UFA deal with the Jaguars and, you know, being behind Trevor Lawrence, presuming he's not going to play much, probably won't be too expensive. And then Packers will get their franchise quarterback and Nathan Rourke that way.
That's your whole, you had it all schemed out. So you have it all figured out.
Yep. That's, hey, everything now makes sense. It all makes sense.
So yeah, just collect draft capital and wait for the future. He's waiting for us. That's great.
And while I think the Packers clearly have centered in on Jordan Love being the future, to me, they that shouldn't preclude them from also looking forward and checking in on Nathan Rourke's progress. And obviously not just Rourke, but there's tons of quarterbacks that, you know, what's going on with the 49ers, right? Like can those, you know, Purdy or Lance be acquired cheaply at some point? Like there's tons of young quarterbacks that the Packers should at least keep their eye on because they may need them as options. Perhaps Jordan Love plays so good that the Packers aren't willing to pay him what he wants. And suddenly he leaves because he's too good and getting too big a payday. Right. So there's also that sort of downside. You'd imagine if he's good enough, the Packers will pay him whatever he needs, but that's also a chance too.
Yeah. Green Bay pays their quarterback. So if he's that good, which I do hope he is, by the way, I'm pulling for the guy. I do, but yeah, if he's that good, wow. What luck we have to get three guys in a row that good, but hey, we never know. And that's, you know, the point of this whole thing right here with this contract is there's easy outs and there's also time to evaluate. So it's a good move.
Because maybe it's two guys in a row, Jordan Love for a couple of years, and then the third guy, then the third Hall of Famer comes by in a couple of years now. Well, as long as we get a Hall of Fame quarterback, doesn't matter how that happens, right? We got to win the Super Bowl though, and
yeah. I'll take a non-Hall of Fame quarterback in a Super Bowl also. So any way we can get it.
Oh, for sure. I'd rather the Super Bowl than the Hall of Fame quarterback. That's exactly. Definitely. But it also does seem like they're one and the same, right? Like if you're gonna have that quarterback be that franchise guy, win a Super Bowl, he's probably making it to the Hall of Fame. Of course, one comes without the other, and I mean, all that matters is winning the Super Bowl. So. In that sense, I mean, I don't love the Packers' chances, but I mean, everyone's suddenly picking the Lions to win the division. So that tells me the division's probably wide open. if everyone's suddenly in on the Lions being division winners, that's cute. That's fun. I mean, I don't know. I right now, who would you say is the favorite to win the division? Because I mean, I'm not convinced that the masses who seem to think it's the Lions personally.
I mean, not even throwing on my Homer glasses. It's still Green Bay's division. I think the Vikings took a major step back. The Bears still are not good. They're not. They're not. Justin Fields puts up, you know, rushing stats. Go win a football game. Jordan Love has as many wins as Justin Fields in division. Zero. You know, so it's the Lions and the Packers, and I think the Packers are the better team. And that's just – listen, Green Bay's got a good roster. Yes, we're missing Aaron Rodgers. It does hinge on the quarterback play, but we're going to see Matt LaFleur finally run a system. It might not be sexy. This is a 9-win team, and 9 wins probably wins the North. It really probably does. So,
I guess to me, like the Vikings defense isn't very good. The Packers defense, I would say, is better, at least has better pieces, but overall, I think maybe lacking the depth to really be make that a difference maker. I don't know. As much as I have confidence in the Green Bay coaching staff to do with Jordan Love as best as possible, I think that the quarterback connection between Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson is too great. Like, so I think in my mind, the Vikings are the favorite now. And it's right now it's Justin Jefferson's division, and the Packers have to be the team that's the upstart team that takes it away from them, which they could do. But I find it funny how, man, I can't believe we're about to say this. People are disrespecting the Vikings, right? Usually it's like they're such an overrated team, but like it just feels like how many people have, oh, the Lions are going to win it. Like the Lions haven't, the Buccaneers have won this division more recently than the Lions.
They have.
Just think about that statement for a second, folks. This current division, which makes up, obviously was, you know, used to be the NFC Central. Because that's how long ago the Lions won the division, is before all these realignments when they were in the NFC Central. Like that's when we're talking about the Lions as a division champion. And suddenly everyone seems to be on it. I mean, I just love hating on the Lions, apparently. Everyone knows that, though.
Well, and with the Vikings too, listen, just put Jair on Jefferson. We'll handle that. Looks like Cook's going to be cut. So, I mean, that's a huge weapon gone right there. And who's their number two? So if you focus everything on Jefferson, and that team just lost all their depth, you know, there's nothing on that offense anymore. It's just gone. So as great as Jefferson is, and I do think he's probably the best receiver in the league. And yes, he wears purple, but I think I said that last year too. I think he's the best receiver in the league, but I like my chances with Jair out on him, and they have no other weapons. Yeah, let's go. So the fun thing about this division is wide open, right? So bring back that division. They can beat anybody. Even the Lions are in the mix, even though Tampa Bay has – that was a great stat, by the way, but it's true. But it's wide open, and that's what makes it fun. It's going to be a fun battle this year.
I mean, not that the Buccaneers are scraps. They've won two Super Bowls since then.
Yeah, and
– which is the same number as the Packers, unfortunately.
Yeah, so just – you know, I know we're getting off topic here, but you think about that. So they've probably had – what, maybe six winning seasons in there, and two of them are Super Bowls. Isn't that crazy?
Is it even six?
Right.
They've been pretty awful, yet somehow better than the Lions. I wonder what that says about the Lions.
Right. And then here's Green Bay with like 17 and only two Super Bowls. So what do you want? What do you want? The Super Bowls and suck? Or I don't know.
this was supposed to just be a Jordan Love conversation and turned into ripping on the rest of the NFC North, which is fine. We're here for it, apparently.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. Slow time of the year.
Now to some more news, and we will talk about some Packers news here. This is, you know, last episode, Jesse, we talked about, what was it, 12, 13 players drafted by the Packers, which is crazy to think of a 7-round draft. So we spent a lot of time about that, but the Packers, you know, once the draft was done, they were still busy, got a list of priority undrafted free agents that they got. And then there's been also a couple more players through second waves of free agents, some veterans that were available after the draft, one player they got off waivers. So is there something particularly you want to start with, Jesse?
I guess we start with a free agent, right? Because that's probably the guy out of who we're going to talk about today. He's got the best chance of being on this team and maybe even a starter, and that's Jonathan Owens.
So, yeah, I think what's funny, because during the draft or the talking about the draft, we talked about the 7th round safety, Anthony Johnson, and guys, one of the best chances to be a starter. And then suddenly, I don't know if the Packers were listening to that or if that was their plan all along. Veteran safeties were available and they got Jonathan Owens pretty cheap. And it seems like a less expensive version of Adrian Amos in a sense. Now, Amos came in. Like, because it looks like Jonathan Owens, this was the end of his rookie contract, and the Houston Texans just chose not to re-sign him or chose to go elsewhere anyway. And so Owens was fairly inexpensive. I looked up his cap hit is just over $1 million. So it certainly is affordable way to get a potential starting safety, because he started through a lot of his rookie contract.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, barely over $1 million. Now, that's peanuts for a guy that, you know, might push for playing time. So cheap guy. Just looking at a lot of stuff, it sounds like the Houston Texans fan base really like this guy. Obviously Houston hasn't been a good team, and it's like, oh, he started for the Texans. That doesn't mean nothing. He still started in the NFL. That does mean something, whether he's great, he's still a starter. And they seem to really like him. They, you know, the guy got a lot of snaps. He played more of a true center field kind of safety, you know, but that's a good thing. You know, that's what we kind of wanted out of Savage, to be able to play that back true, you know, single high free safety and then let Amos play in the box. This guy seems like he can do that. So,
and to a certain extent, maybe Savage playing in the box as the strong safety, maybe that turns out to be something good.
Right. Or Savage, you know, where he kind of excelled last year as that slot corner, you know, or when he was playing the robber 2 years ago down closer to the box. So it's
Rasul Douglas can always flip to safety. And hey, who knows? Maybe that Anthony Johnson kid that we've been hyping up actually competes to be a starter this year. Yeah.
Definitely.
It went from a, oh man, there's not much depth here, to suddenly the Packers do have options in the secondary.
They have options. They got guys that can, you know, fit multiple roles, you know, wear different hats, and it's good competition, right? It's, you're coming in there with four or five guys that all can potentially start. Who wants it? Who wants it the most? So it's going to be fun. And who knows, maybe he gets cut, you know, the last week of training camp, or I mean, last week of preseason. We don't know. But it's a good move. It's a cheap move. Green Bay has really excelled in finding these kind of players the last couple of years. So maybe he's another gem that they found.
If he turns to an all-pro like Devondre Campbell did after getting him, I mean, Campbell was like 11th hour right before training camp, even later in the offseason. So if they can, yep, if he can get even come close to that, that'll be a win for sure. The Packers, though, felt – sorry.
Oh, it was okay. I said, and Keyshawn Nixon last year. So, I mean,
that's two guys.
So we'll see.
But I mean, to, you know, Keyshawn Nixon is, you know, his position is technically defensive back. And I mean, aside from Owens, they also got William Hooper, who it looks like he was a tryout at the rookie minicamp, and they signed him out of the minicamp as a cornerback. Was looking, it seems like, you know, good for the off zone that they like to play. So it seems like that was an option. A couple of the priority UDFAs after the draft, Benny Snapp, and then Christian Morgan. It looks like Christian Morgan's a safety, so a couple more defensive backs there that they got. One thing interesting of note, the Miami Dolphins waived DJ Siafi. He's an offensive lineman, so, you know, helping out with the trenches, which I guess we can transition to talk with some of the other priority UDFAs that they got. It seems like there was one name in particular you wanted to talk about in terms of addressing the pass rush.
Right. Just going over this list, like Green Bay as a whole, listen, get big guys for the trenches and then go after pass rush, right? That's kind of what it kind of looked like. And then some receivers and sprinkle it in. The one guy on this list who I would never have thought Green Bay would even kick the tires on, all upside in the world, or you can cut him tomorrow. And that's Brendan Cox Jr. Well, I'd say played at Florida, but he's played at Georgia also. And, the negatives, okay, this kid got, you know, he started as a true freshman at Georgia. How many guys can say they do that? Not many. He did. Got kicked off the team. Went to Florida. Had a great season in 2001. 8.5 sacks. I mean, just go look at the tape. This kid's like, wow, this is a first-round talent. And I'm not joking. When he's on, he's that good. And then last year, he got kicked off halfway through the season. So there's obviously red flags. Has some issues, has some coaching issues. Just all around, there's some red flags, right? Undrafted free agent, you bring him to camp. Again, if you've never seen this guy play, go look at – just look at his highlights, and you're going to be, wow, this kid has the potential to be one of the best pass rushers. I'll say that again, potential, and you look at his moves because he's got an arsenal of moves. No, let's not say the best. Maybe the most polished pass rushers and just naturally gifted in this draft. Not saying he's going to be, but there's talent there. His spin move and his rips are amazing. He looks great. Now, will he ever get on the field? Because he might do some dumb things, or they might get kicked out of camp. Maybe. But what a guy to take a chance on. Maybe he flashes. Maybe you can keep him around. Maybe he grows up, and you might have a stud. Now, he ran like crap on his 40, so how committed is he? I don't know. But – that was the guy that I was most intrigued, because 2 years ago they were talking about him as a top 50 player.
There we go. So potential in Brenton Cox. You know, Jesse, we've talked in the past the importance of the pass rush and then the pass protectors. So specifically the, you know, outside linebackers, defensive ends, and then also the offensive tackles. And you know, there were 12 priority UDFAs. So I think that means within 24 hours of the draft ending. Mm-hmm. And two of them were outside linebackers, Brenton Cox, and then also Keyshawn Banks. Then they also took Kadeem Telfort as an offensive tackle. So knowing that at least, I guess technically, a quarter of their priority UDFAs were at the, you know, the pass rush, pass protection position.
Oh yeah, that's the guys. And this dude's a big dude, Telford, big dude, coming from a system that ran the ball, one of the best running teams in the country. So yeah, that I don't know if he'll play tackle, but he's like what, 6'7", 6'8"? He's really big. So that might be a guy that grinds it out, and you know, you stash him for a year or two and maybe get something out of him.
Yeah, I guess the list here, a couple of wide receivers, because we also talk about like receiver being such an important position. You always want to take shots. So Malik Heath, Deuce Watts, and just because the Packers are taking shots on tight ends this year, Carmen McDonald and Henry Pearson at that position as well.
Yep. Hey, keep throwing darts at the dartboard and maybe you find one that sticks, right? I don't know a lot. I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about these receivers. It sounds like Heath was, you know, pretty solid but slow, not a fast guy. But then what was the other guy that you said? Deuce something.
Deuce Watts.
Yeah, he was explosive, almost like 20 yards per catch. So there's another guy that's a big play kind of guy that they've been looking at.
And unfortunately, folks, there is an S at the end of his name. He's not related to JJ or TJ Watt.
The bloodline doesn't continue. Huh?
No, not there. so yeah, Telford, again, it listed him as a tackle in terms of the pickup, the release, in terms of the press release to indicate he was picked up. But that could also be if he, you know, he played tackle in college, that's why he's listed like that. Chuck Feligia as well. So Telford and Feligia, both offensive linemen that were priority UDFAs. Jason Luan on the defensive side of the front as a priority defensive lineman that they signed. And then last guy to mention is Jimmy Phelps Jr. Looks like he's more of an off-ball linebacker as compared to Keyshawn Banks and certainly Bretton Cox, who Jesse talked about quite a bit. But yeah, Jimmy Phelps Jr. Looks like inside linebacker, or at least that's how he projects to be. And that's the I guess we'll say the dirty dozen of the priority UDFAs for the Packers.
Well, it seems like every year one of them makes the roster. So you got to pull for these guys, right? You know, they're not just camp bodies. They're fighting for their NFL career. So.
Yeah, for sure. It's the best league in the world, right? So you need the best athletes. So, you got to fight tooth and nail to get in, especially, you know, even if you're drafted, but certainly if you're not drafted.
Yeah, exactly. And to that point, you know, there's not going to be 13 guys that we drafted that's going to make this roster. There's no way. So it's going to be a battle this year and summer. And that's why they play the game. And that's why we love it. It's competitive.
Although it does put like the Packers are kind of in a sense an unfortunate. Well, yeah, it's an unfortunate position to be in. They just have a lack of depth across this roster, it seems like. So while 13 rookies won't make it, there's enough of them that probably will, just because in order to get all those spots, even if you know a few of them are healthy scratches most of the season. But you know, there's 53 spots on the line, and I guess now, I mean, the battle's already begun to claim them.
Yes, sir. That what do you show up to camp with 90? I think it's 90 to.
Yeah, I think you're allowed 90, and I know the Packers have made some additions, some cuts. There's talking about some other players that are potentially out there, but yeah, I think it's right now they're allowed 90.
Right, and the interesting thing is, it was kind of a fun topic, you know, with the retired numbers, they already have some duplicates out there when they go with 90. That's how many numbers are retired. So what do you do, like, after Aaron Rodgers, because obviously 12 is going to be retired, you just say we can't retire numbers anymore? Because you're going to run out of them for camp all the time.
I mean, in camp, you can use the hundreds and stuff like that.
Just have triple digits on dudes running around.
Yeah, why not?
You're not making the team if you got a triple digit. I'll tell you that right now.
Or you're definitely changing your number.
Right.
once it comes time to join the team. I guess that's a Packers problem, right? Oh, we have too many retired numbers. That's a good problem to have in a sense.
Big problem. Yep. The Bears and the Steelers are all within like one or two of retired numbers, correct?
Well, I mean, you've got the team with the most championships in NFL history. You've got the team with the most Super Bowls in NFL history. I guess they're tied. And then you have the Bears, who I'm pretty sure have the second or third most total championships in NFL history. So,
yep.
Just, but yeah, probably... it makes sense. If you have that many championships, you'd have that many retired numbers.
Right. Well, that could be another topic. Put all the retired numbers against each other with other teams. That'd be a fun one day.
There's only a small number of numbers left.
Right.
But for a number of reasons, we're gonna end this podcast here. But this was a great conversation, Jesse. Good touching on a few key topics that we wanted to talk about.
Yes, it was. And hey, May 22nd, OTA starts. So football is right around the corner next week.
Wow, yeah, coming in close. And you know, for the listeners, if you want to interact with us, feel free to do so on Twitter at FPC_Packers. And through there, you know, we'll share, of course, every episode of the podcast. But if you want to message us, DM us, let us know what topics you'd like us to cover this offseason. I'm sure there's a couple of fun topics we can come up with. You know, we'll probably, you know, we'll talk about the Packers schedule at some point. We'll talk about the opposing quarterbacks rank list. I know we've done that a couple times already, Jesse, in the past couple of years. So that'll be a fun one to revisit. But we'll also have, you know, time for other episodes too that are yet to be determined. So feel free to, again, DM us and let us know topics you'd like us to talk about. You can also follow your co-host individually. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212, and I'm at Senra Says. And of course, we also like you to follow PA the second on Twitter at PA_IIOfficial. And he lets us use the song Bad Boy Outside as our intro and outro music. And I guess, as Jesse mentioned, with OTAs a week away, the bad boys of the Packers will be outside trading and practicing. And as we mentioned, fighting for spots on this roster. So, Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners here?
As always, go Pack, go.
Yep, absolutely. And tune in next time to the Full Press Packers Pod.